As we begin to dive into Psalm 138, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the way it helps us and the way it guides us. And I pray that you'll help us to rely on your word, to live by it, to praise you for everything, Lord, to have a relationship with you through prayer, the reading of your word, fellowship with the believers, and being involved in our local church. I just pray, Lord, that you might be with us as we open your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit might give me words to speak, that you might help them to be used in the way that only you can. You are such a great God, and I thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, I remember there was a television show that my family kind of enjoyed sitting down and watching. It was called Brain Games. And in one of the things that they were doing with this Brain Games is they had men versus women. And the differences in the brain structure of men and women. And they had a kind of a battle of the sexes. And one of them had to do with the ability to follow instructions. Okay? But as it went through this, they had some competitions like packing a vehicle for vacation. And as they did these groups, they found that the men were kind of better in putting together the space properly and everything and packing more efficiently. And the men were feeling pretty good about themselves. But then it came for times to follow instructions. And so what they did is they brought in men and women, and they had like a race between the men and the women, and they gave them a piece of paper behind a screen with a number of objects and tasks to do on this piece of paper. And they said, "You have all the instructions you need to complete this task. Just read the paper and you'll be set." So, right at the top of the paper, the first instruction was, "Please read all the instructions before you begin." Okay, that was instruction number one. And then it had about 20 things to do. And so they'd bring in the men and the women, and they'd sit there and they'd come behind it, and the man would pick up the piece of paper just like this, and the woman would pick up the piece of paper just like this. They'd start reading. And before you know it, you'd see the man, and he'd be pounding in the nail with his hammer, and he'd be doing his jumping jacks or whatever crazy things this paper. And you see the woman. She's just, because what's the first thing that it said? Read all of it before you get started. She's reading. She's reading. And the last one says, "Once you have completed reading this document, you are finished, and you may press the button, and you're done." And so the women are sitting there, and the man's doing his jumping jacks, pounding in the hammer and nails, and doing everything as fast as he can, and the woman just sits there, and, "Oh, I win." Because she didn't have to do anything on that paper. She just read the instructions. Right? Men, that's us, right? Read the instructions. Read the instructions. And when it comes to life, we have an instruction manual, right? On how we ought to live and what we ought to do. We need to read this. And when I tackle an instruction manual, I did it this week. I had to assemble something on Monday night, and I wanted to get it done. And I had a helper, and I was so thankful for my helper. And what I want to do when I get an instruction manual is I am not one of those guys that opens the box and tries to figure it out. And then when it all goes to junk, then I'm going to start over and read the instruction manual. Then that's not me. I know there's lots of people like that, but that's not me. I want the instructions to tell me exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And I want to follow the instructions implicitly. And so when you read the Bible as your instruction manual, it has in here the situations of life and what to do with them and how to do them. However, sometimes we see all sorts of instructions and maybe we get kind of confused. I think that some people that haven't read the Bible think that the Bible on page 253, paragraph 5 in article number 2 says, when you pray, you shall fold your hands, bow your head, and you shall start it this way and end it this way. Amen. I think there's people that think that that's the way the Bible works. When I see, as we read through the Bible, Jesus Christ lifting his eyes up to heaven, people lifting their hands and casting themselves on the ground and weeping before the Lord. And when it comes to how we ought to live for the Lord, I said Psalm 138 is a psalm of praise. Do you need some encouragement today? And Psalm 138 is a psalm of praise, and that's where I want to focus today. But before we even get started, we're going to read 138, but then we're going to jump back to 137. I got a reason for that. And let's look in Psalm 138, and could we read the 8 verses together? Would that be okay? I hope it will, because we're going to do it anyways. So Psalm 138, verses 1 to 8, let's say these verses together. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. What an awesome psalm. What an amazing scripture. As we read that, and I see here, in here, it says, shout to the Lord, sing forth his praises, shout his name on high, declare his wonderful testimony of the great things that he has done. So, in my mind, I read that, and I think in my life, what I need to do is I need to shout from the rooftops of how great my God is, and how wonderful he is, and how amazing he is to all the world. And that's a very good thing to do. And that's something that we should be doing. Tonight we gave praise and testimony of the great things that God has done. But as I was studying for this psalm and kind of putting those things in my mind, and I kind of have here, I have a picture, a psalm of praise with somebody at the cross and lifting up their hands and praising the Lord on high and everything. But I read this by Charles Spurgeon. It says, Psalm 138 is wisely placed. Whoever edited and arranged these sacred poems, he had an eye to an opposition and contrast. For in Psalm 137, we see the need of silence before revilers. Here we see the excellence of a brave confession. There is a time to be silent, lest we cast pearls before swines. And there is a time to speak openly, lest we be found guilty of cowardly non-confession. And I said, oh, that's interesting. As I was reading that, what do you think the first thing that I did and what we're going to do now is? Go back and read Psalm 137, right? So let's do that. Let's look in Psalm 137. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. And we read this that passage of scripture, and we read about a time to be silent. And a time when we know that the Lord is great and He is awesome, but there's also to be time to be silent and to cast our requests and our petitions in before the Lord in quiet humbleness. And so maybe somebody, a group of people come into church and some are lifting up their hands and praising the Lord and they're excited and praise the Lord, hallelujah, for the things that He has done. Then maybe the person sitting next to us is quiet and thoughtful in prayer before the Lord. Who's following the instruction book? Right? Could be either person. When I read Psalm 137, I see Jeremiah as he watches the precious city of Jerusalem fall down around him. I think of Daniel being tied to his brothers, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, watched as everything he's known has been destroyed. And he's carted off to Babylon. And he's quiet. And he's in prayer and before his father. And so I read this as somebody who's looking for instruction in my life. And I say, tomorrow, Lord, what should I do? Should I be quiet before you? Should I sing praise to you? And I think about how great this book is because it has all the answers of what we ought to do today, what we ought to do tomorrow. And there is a time, we heard it. I was thinking about the testimony that we heard down here this evening. And today we could say hallelujah for the great things that God has done. But there's also a time when we're in the midst of those struggles and trials where we're quiet before the Lord and we're praying to Him and our requests are going up to heaven like that. And the important thing is, what should we do? How should we react in this situation, Lord? Is we need to take this book, and I think that's going to play a big part in this psalm. We need to take this book with all of its instruction and all of its wisdom for life and all of its things. things to refresh and encourage and admonish our soul. We need to take all of these things and we need to have a relationship with the author. A relationship with the writer of the instruction manual. So that when it comes to a decision in life and we say, God, what should I do in this situation? Should I stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Or should I step out in faith into the Jordan River and watch you move the waters? We need to talk. We need to say, God, I see these things in the Bible. And I need your wisdom on how I ought to act and what I ought to do. And so I think as we read this Psalm of Praise and we read about Psalm 137, the time to be silent. And when that time comes in our life, we need to pray. We need to have a relationship with the author and know when that is appropriate. And when we have Psalm 138, a time to cry out and to sing the praises of his name, we need to have a relationship with the author. And as we look at Psalm 138, a Psalm of David, where Psalm 137 definitely wasn't a Psalm of David. That was written years after David had been gone and the children of Israel were being carted off to Babylon. In Psalm 138, we have this Psalm of David, and we look at it and we see two parts to this psalm. Looking at the past and relying on the great works of God and the things that we counted on in the past for God to do and Him to be faithful. And then taking that, and as we face the future, we have a testimony of the things that God has done. And I'm not one big on alliteration or, you know, having something like that, but I just saw too much of it as I was looking and as I was preparing for Psalm 138. So I have this, the six T's of the past that David looked back at. The six T's from the past. And we had testimony time tonight, and we heard some amazing testimonies of what God has done for us. And I hope that you could take those things and you can hang on to them. So when you face the future, you know that God has done amazing, amazing things. And He will continue to do them. And the first T, that as we sing praise and as we cry out to God from verse 1, is that we need to have total allegiance. I will praise you with my whole heart. We need to have a total allegiance to our God. Let's turn back in our Bible to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, God charges Joshua and the children of Israel as Moses is leaving. And he talks to them as they are preparing to go into the promised land. And it says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as I read that verse, I see in that passage, our allegiance needs to be totally upon our Savior, our God, our Savior Jesus Christ. And as Joshua, God is talking to Joshua and the children of Israel, he said, I was with Moses. Moses was a great man. As the Bible says, there wasn't a man meeker on the planet than him. Strength under control. And he followed the Lord. He didn't waver as he was following the Lord, and the Lord was faithful to him. And he tells Joshua here, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And you could trust that. You've seen the testimony of Moses' life. And so now with your whole heart, follow me. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes fixed and forward on Jesus Christ. And I think that's so important. I was talking this week about Achan later on in the book of Joshua. Because God gives Achan and the rest of the children of Israel a command. He says, Jericho is cursed. Don't touch the accursed thing. But what did Joshua do? Can't you just picture Joshua not doing what this verse says? He looked right, left. He said, what's in there looks pretty good. His whole heart, his whole allegiance wasn't to the Lord. And he saw the things of the world, the things that he wanted, and he took them. And he lost his total allegiance. He didn't follow God with his whole heart. And he faced consequences for that. Were the consequences just for him? Absolutely not. Think about all the men that died in the battle against Ai, of his family, because he turned to the right, to the left, looked, saw if anybody would see that his allegiance wasn't totally to the Lord, and he followed after his own heart. He had a mixed allegiance. His whole heart wasn't following the Lord. Also, in Psalm 138, verse 1. In Psalm 138, in verse 1. Excuse me. Yeah, I did put it up there. Psalm 138, in verse 1, it says, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. We need to yield our allegiance with our whole heart to God and God alone. We put no other gods before us. I did not hear what Pastor Baker had to say this morning. I was working with the junior church kids, but I did hear Pastor say one thing as I was walking from the gym downstairs, I heard him say that some of the biggest idols that people have today is with a sports, I believe he said something to, along the fact, to a sports figure or to some Hollywood movie star. And I believe he said, you could have your favorite ball team or whatever, but don't worship the ground those people walk on. Was that pretty much the gist of what you said this morning? I heard it over the speaker as I was heading downstairs. And I think that that really fits what it says here. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. In David's life and the world around him, there were some the things that people did as they worshiped those false gods and the extremes that they would go to and the extremes that people go to today to follow after false gods. There's a verse we're going to get to in a little while where it talks about the truth. And as I was thinking about that, I thought to myself, truth has never been more in question than it is today. We have all this information being thrown at us and children are under attack and they don't know what to believe. And they are confused. Because every day somebody tries to put something in front of them that looks good and looks interesting and proclaimed as truth, and it's an absolute lie. And you begin to look at some of the things. Did you know that some of the biggest things that are searched on the internet today are things like voodoo? How can I be a ghost hunter? And when you begin to look into some of the growing religions and the things that people follow, you realize that in today's world, yeah, people, their idols can be a ball player. I have a student who can come in every single day and tell me how many points his favorite basketball player had, how many points he scored, and he's a brilliant kid, really smart. But I wish he could take some. But then I think about it, and I was like, I was the same way when I was his age. And God's work got a lot of time to work on him. And I'm hoping that one day he'll say, you know what? Maybe if I ever meet that guy, I could sing praise to my Father to that person. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. What a testimony that would be. If you could meet some famous person, a Hollywood star or some actor, and say, I praise God for the things that he's done in my life and the places that he's led me, and I'd love to tell you all about him. Let's turn over our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 20 to 21. I find this passage of Scripture to be rather interesting. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 20 and 21, it says, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I believe that our adversary is real, that he is working in the world today. and that he is going to use any means he can. As Pastor Baker said this morning, he could use your favorite ball player. As I'm saying tonight, he can use lies put out on the internet. I'm saying he can use all sorts of things, and he is going to try to grab our attention. And our praise needs to be to him alone. He deserves the praise. He deserves the glory. He deserves our total allegiance. It says in Psalm 138, as we go back to that passage, we should probably put our finger there for the next couple weeks, but it says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. The third thing that I have here is that we should praise the Lord for the things in the past. The Lord has decided to make his temple currently our heart. I know that David, when he was talking here, and as he was talking about, I will worship towards your holy temple, I realize that he meant the place with the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies. But God has chosen today for us to worship the Lord and make his temple our heart. Matthew Henry said, the Holy of Holies isn't a place you can go to today. But Christ has chosen our heart to be the temple. And we need to worship the Lord with all of our heart and give praise to that. Let's look over in our Bibles, jump back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I know that this is something that we've done in this church before, but the 3:16s of the Bible are kind of interesting. And I found myself in a couple of the 3:16s this week. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So if we are going to worship God in his temple, and if we are to praise God, we need to praise God through our lives and the things that we do. And Pastor Baker and I were sitting and chatting last night, and we were talking about heaven. We were having an awesome discussion where we were talking just about how great heaven is going to be as we build relationships with other people and we do things and we get a chance to grow and learn and meet people and give glory to God through all of it. And I was excited, but I think about where we live and where we are today, in the things that we do in this body here today, we can cry out to the Lord and praise him for the things that he's done in our life. And so we're looking at the six things that God has done in the past. We've acknowledged that he deserves our total allegiance, that our praise ought to be to him and to him alone, because he was with guys like Moses. And when they followed him with their own heart, he was faithful to them. And if we keep our eyes fixed on him, don't turn to the right or to the left, but we keep our eyes fixed on him, we'll find success. And God had his temple with the children of Israel. And oh, to go to the temple and to be able to praise the Lord. And could you imagine being one of those Israelite, a Jewish person, and going to the temple and hearing about the Holy of Holies and how amazing it was and how awesome it was, and then never being able to enter, and singing the praises of the great God and knowing the stories of the Ark of the Covenant, but never being able to go inside. And now today God says, I died on the cross. Everything is different. I will put my Holy Spirit in you. You, your heart, will be the temple that the world is going to see. And it's through you that I will do great things. That's quite the responsibility. It's quite the privilege, too. And our lives are to be a testimony to others of the things that God has done. And I was so happy as I was sitting up here and getting ready for tonight, as I heard testimonies of how in the past God was faithful. Amen. We know that in the future He'll be faithful too. Next week I want to look at the next three T's. And I've got three T's for us next week. And I hope you come back, because I am really, really excited about the next three T's. And see, maybe this week, maybe you read through Psalm 138 again in preparation, and see if you can figure out what the next three T's are on your own. Okay? If not, you can cheat. Barb Guernsey sent you the notes, and you can look on the notes for next week, and that's okay too. But let's pray, and let's praise the Lord for the great things that He has done. Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You that, Lord, You are a faithful God, that You are a loving God, and Lord, I just pray that You will help us to praise Your name, to cry out to Your name on high, to sing Your praises in this world. And Lord, I pray that You might help us this week to be faithful in serving You. I thank You and praise You for all the things You have done. For it's in Your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.